The world's largest democracy, the second most populous country in the world, the origin of four of the world's major religions. This is India. A vast land with about 5,000 years of recorded history, this is a country of amazing stories. A dying princess asks her husband to build one of the world's most magnificent structures to display his deep love for her. An emperor's dreams to build a mausoleum are shattered, overthrown by his son. All that remain are ruins. A humble man who led through nonviolence, a man who helped his people find a better way of life, a life of service to others. We are in an amazing place with an amazing story. Rapid economic development is fueling India's rise on the world stage. Currently the 10th largest economy in the world, India has experienced high rates of economic growth in recent years. With a population of almost 1.2 billion people, more and more people are leaving the countryside and settling in cities. The urban population is more than 30% of the national population. The bustling capital, New Delhi, has almost 22 million inhabitants. Systematically annexed by the British East India Company from the early 18th century and colonized by the United Kingdom from the mid-19th century, India became an independent nation again in 1947 after a struggle for independence which was marked by non-violent resistance and led by Mahatma Gandhi. India is home to several hundred languages. Despite this challenge, there has been a revival for mission in India. Around 1895, the first Seventh-day Adventist missionaries arrived in India. Look at how the growth of our church has deeply impacted a young girl's life. To most people, a crowded city street in India sounds like this. But since Sundrama was born, city streets sounded like this. You see, Sundrama is deaf. She cannot hear or speak with words. She talks with her hands. Sundrama was not always able to communicate with sign language. When she was young, she could not go to school because the school could not accommodate deaf children. Her family was very sad she could not receive an education like the other children her age. One day, a woman knocked at her door and told her about a school for the deaf run by the Seventh-day Adventists and invited Sundrama to attend. The family was so happy they could hardly contain their excitement. At first, Sundrama had a difficult time learning. She was not used to school and she missed her family. But the more time she spent here, the easier it became and the more she wanted to stay. Sundrama eventually learned sign language and could talk to her friends. At this school, she also learned about Jesus. The teacher would take the class outside and teach them lessons from the Bible. Sundrama was fascinated by the stories she learned. She loved the Adventist education she received. Now Sundrama is older. She shares her faith with her family and neighbors. When people don't understand sign language, she writes notes to tell them of Jesus' love. She can read and write in English and her local language. If it were not for Adventist education, Sundrama would not be able to communicate and share the way she does now. Please pray for this school and other Adventist schools throughout India. Pray that they can teach our children the wonderful lessons of Jesus. This is the important mission of our church, bringing people closer to Jesus. It is wonderful to see how this school and other Adventist schools in India have been revived for mission, and how they teach our children the wonderful lessons of Jesus.
We're here at the site of the incredibly beautiful Taj Mahal. This is in central India, an incredible place on the other side of the Yamuna River. Across that river is an edifice that shows the wonderful love that Shah Jahan had for his wife, Mumtaz Mahal. She and her husband had such incredible love that she would go with him on his military conquests. In 1630, when she was giving birth to their 14th child, she died in child labor. And just before she died, she called her husband, Shah Jahan, to her and said, "Please construct an incredible edifice that would show our tremendous love here on this earth." And that is the result. The Taj Mahal, the Crown Palace, actually explained in so many words. An incredible place that shows a great love between a husband and a wife.
Emperor Shah Jahan himself described the Taj in these words.
"Should guilty seek asylum here, like one pardon, he becomes free from sin. Should a sinner make his way to this mansion, all his past sins ought to be washed away. The sight of this mansion create sorrowing sighs, and the sun and the moon shed tears from their eyes. In this world, this edifice has been made to display thereby the Creator's glory."
The Taj Mahal is a monument to a great love. It represents the sacrifice that one man and a nation went through to express the love between a man and a woman. Jesus sacrificed his life for us to express the great love he has for his church. His legacy is not a building, but rather a memorial of salvation and redemption.
We're here on the site of the ruins of the intended black mausoleum that was going to be for Shah Jahan, the husband of Mumtaz Mahal, the person for whom he built the incredible Taj Mahal. Shah Jahan never was able to complete his intended mausoleum for himself because he had already almost bankrupted the country. His son took over. And he said, "No, Father, you just stay in this one place and you just can look at the Taj Mahal. We're not going to spend more money." He had intended to have a golden bridge that would connect these two mausoleums, the black marble and then the white marble. You know, many times in our own lives, we have intended plans and they seem to fall into ruin. Things seem to just dissipate before our eyes. We don't know which way to turn. But just keep in mind, just as this Taj Mahal was such an incredible monument to the love of this husband for his wife, so too God can create in your own life something that will be beautiful, that will be stable, and something which will give glory to Him. Remember, God's great love can transform your life from ruins into something beautiful.
राजा राम पतित पावन सन्मति दे भगवान रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम।
We're here in Delhi, India, at the Rajghat, the tomb of the world famous social, moral, political leader of India, Mahatma Gandhi. It's a very peaceful place here in the midst of a very bustling, large metropolis, the capital of India. Mahatma Gandhi was a very fascinating individual. Those of you who study history will understand that. He led through nonviolence. He believed in social change. He believed in helping to lift up his people here in India, to help people find a better way of life. A life of service to other people. I recall my father talking to me about the time when he grew up here in India. My grandfather was president of the Southern Asia Division, and he and my father went to visit Mahatma Gandhi on several occasions. In fact, one occasion was one of those days when Mahatma Gandhi was not speaking during the day. It was just a particular type of personal activity that he had. He would have days of silence. And my father told about coming to visit this great individual, sitting at his feet, silent the entire time. And after an appropriate time, they simply got up and walked away. This individual, Mahatma Gandhi, certainly was a strong force for good in so many ways, an impact of service to others. You know, we have a lot of people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, young people, older people, who are ready and willing to serve, and they are serving others in a wonderful, powerful way. Listen to one of those beautiful stories.
Actually, we were taking lesson study one day, and we were talking about medical ministry and about service. And this thought suddenly occurred to me that, maybe we can do something in the church. And so I brought it up in the lesson study. And the next year, I was selected as the outreach person in charge. And since I already had ideas, I thought I would involve the youth. Because youth, they have been attending church, but I could see that they were getting stagnated, just coming to church and just listening and not taking part so much, and not getting involved. So we first thought that, reaching out to people in the slums is pretty hard. We have about 34 congregations in the slums. And we thought we'd try and nurture them and show our oneness with them, the unity and the sisterhood that we have. And so we decided that we would go and visit all the churches and not just take just the church and Sabbath school, but we also thought we'd do health talks. So we started first on the New Start, and we thought we'd orient them with, Ellen G. White writings about health, about hygiene, about temperance. And I thought this would also be a platform for the youth to learn about it, so that when they go back to their home churches, respective home churches, they would learn this.
Basically, what I was doing at the project was lead out the sound service.
I take photographs, videos, I also take minutes, and they're all put on Facebook.
Collecting everyone, sending documents, doing photocopies.
Delivering medicine.
We usually have the New Start talk where we talk to them about lifestyle changes and what can help them.
I was a preacher. I have been going with this youth to encourage and to be there.
I call up people and then I SMS people, the members of this church, especially the youth members, and I encourage them to work synergistically so that we can work together for the glory of God.
Well, I have been assigned to preach. So we go out as a group, and there are about 3 to 4 of us who preach sermonettes. Each one of us have been given a topic, and we preach on the topic that's been given, and that's how we go and witness to the people around Delhi.
I've sang, I have conducted song service, I've taken part in skits.
Well, I'm a nurse, so I used to help mostly with the medical, with the doctors.
Both my husband and I are doctors, and we always have one or two young junior doctors that are here in the church, so they all helped us.
Since I'm a nurse, I help out in the medical checkups, like checking the blood sugars and the blood pressures, giving out medicines, and also taken part in the New Start program.
There were a big amount of people, not just the church members, but, you know, the neighbors and, you know, the surrounding people. All of them came because, you know, they heard that we are giving free medicine and free checkup, you know, and blood tests and, you know, things like that, blood pressure. Many of them have never had their blood pressure checked.
Initially, outreach, I thought, was something very boring. But once I got into it, it was so much fun. And, you know, witnessing to the people, talking to them about Jesus, and seeing their response really impressed and enriched me personally.
For a very long time, we'd been talking about all outreach. But what we were doing is we were reaching out to our own people and not really reaching out to people we should outreach to.
I feel good about helping others. It also makes me realize that I'm blessed a lot. Many of these people don't have a proper homes to stay. The places where they worship are just makeshift churches.
When I started joining this outreach program with under the guidance of Dr. Susie and Dr. Paul, I found a meaning in my life. And that's how I appreciate the blessings of God.
And then during our preparation, we prayed a lot and we submit ourselves to God. And with all the prayers and, you know, the preparation, that was, I used to be really richly blessed with that.
I have always loved youth. So for me to be a part of the youth, I think, even though I'm old, I love being a part of the youth. And I've always been doing it all my 28 years of work life. And I find that working with youth not only gives me that energy and that youthfulness, you know, to carry out God's work, it also shows me that we can help with nurturing these youth to become leaders of tomorrow.
It was a special experience for me dealing with people, especially children, who are away from home, who are orphans. Talking to them, understanding their difficulties, and many of them came asking a lot of questions and doubts about a lot of things in the Bible and God's will in their lives.
To be in action, that what we are learning inside the church is the same thing that we are going to impart in the field, was the very, very meaning for me to be there in the outreach, helping to others to understand and serve the love of Jesus with them.
By taking part in this outreach activity gave me a sense of giving rather than just receiving.
And under the leadership of Dr. Susie, it has helped me a lot being more independent, being a good leader. It has helped me a lot with all those. And it has also helped me to take my own decisions when the time comes.
We old people are going to be here for now, you know, but the youth are going to take up the church later. So we are grooming them for that. And I think we have succeeded.
The interaction, the love that you share, the message, the gospel, all these clubbed together just makes you feel so satisfied and spiritually fulfilled.
As we talk to each other, pray and witness to each other, it gives me a lot of immense spiritual blessing personally. And we are here to serve. Our main reason why God has chosen us is to serve others.
My greatest dream, I love to serve people. And my life has always been of service, and I hope I can continue to do this. Probably this is the least I can do for my Savior.
We're here on the grounds of the Rajghat, which essentially means the burial place of high leaders. We're here in the middle of Delhi, India. It's a beautiful, beautiful setting. It's a place where Mahatma Gandhi is buried, where Nehru, the Prime Minister of India, is buried, Indira Gandhi, Rajiv Gandhi. An interesting story about the Gandhi family and how this all plays together is that Mahatma Gandhi actually adopted the husband of Indira Gandhi and gave him his name. And so his name was Froze, and he became Froze Gandhi. Indira Gandhi took on that name, of course, as well. And so the Gandhi name is so pertinent, so important for the country of India. You know, this whole idea of adoption. The Bible talks to us about being adopted as sons and daughters of God. What a beautiful concept that is, to understand that we are God's children. We've been adopted into His precious family because of the life, the blood, and the ministry of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful family to belong to. In fact, today, there are so many people groups that are moving all across this globe, moving from one country to another, finding themselves perhaps discouraged or in some way isolated. I'd like to encourage you to adopt some of those people. You might find them in your own church or in your neighborhood. Listen to a beautiful story that happened right here in Delhi about a very few people being adopted into the Adventist family and how it's flourishing because of that adoption.
During the past 40 years, hundreds of thousands of people have fled the country of Burma, many of them seeking more freedom to follow their faith.
Okay, these Burmese people, mainly they came in Delhi to search the job and to get support from the government of India. And they were very few, only 34 people were there in the beginning. But now we can see around more than 300 people are Adventists, and we are running two churches for them. And they are very faithful. They are dedicated to the service of God. And they are very faithful in returning a tithe and offering. And they are supporting the church as a whole in Delhi. They come to India or Delhi, they need that somebody should be with them so that they can be encouraged morally and they can grow spiritually. Mainly, they want to uplift them morally, because when they come in India, morally they are down, because they have experienced in the past in their own country that Burma government, they have mistreated them. But when they come to India, they are completely down, and they need somebody who can morally uplift them. Burmese people, they are the people of music. They love to sing, they love to play, and they love to express themselves, love of God through songs and other activities. They are very good in singing, and when they sing, it gives a good impact on the church as a whole and on the society.
The Taj Mahal was built with such incredible care. Everything was planned. It was balanced with incredible symmetry. Buildings on both sides matched everything. The doorways, the arches, everything was balanced. In fact, if you go into the Taj Mahal, which was constructed over a 22-year period with about 20,000 workers, you go inside the Taj Mahal, you will see that right in the very center, in a balanced way, are the remains, the tomb of Mumtaz Mahal, the beloved wife of Shah Jahan. And just next to her, a little bit later, Shah Jahan was buried as well. But when you see the symmetry and you understand that she was buried right where it was intended, in the very center, and the balance and symmetry involved in all of this, you begin to see how perfect the approach was. You know, in our own lives, if you place Jesus in the very center of your life, everything will become balanced and in symmetry. You may run into problems and difficulties. We're not saying that everything will be perfect in life, but I want to tell you, when Jesus takes control of your life and you put him in the middle of everything, you will find peace and you will find balance. I'd like to invite you to pray with me right now. Father in heaven, we stand at the sight of something very beautiful, but actually it pales in comparison to what you're preparing for us in heaven, beautiful palaces and homes where we can live close to you. But even though we're not in heaven yet, we can have you at the center of our lives, and you can make our lives beautiful in an indescribable way. You can help us to truly be witnesses to other people. And so, Lord, we invite you into our hearts at this very moment. Come and make us into something beautiful because you are living in the center of our lives. Thank you for hearing us, and thank you for bringing balance and peace and happiness into our lives as we accept you fully. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.